What is TWS podcast episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
Bar.
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast. And I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is this still live?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
I'm ready.
I feel like Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
They ain't ready.
Not gonna be ready, Rich. Keep telling them. They're not gonna be ready. You never know what I might say on this mic.
Am I on? Is this mic on? Oh, sound kind of low. There it goes. All right.
I feel like every week you complain about your mic, Rich. Yeah, I need to.
Gotta make sure the people hear me.
I'm sorry. I turn the music down. I know we got complaints about that. My man. All right. Anyway. This is the What Is TWS podcast.
Yeah.
We somewhere around episode 97. Episode 100 is coming. So if you know, if you're a fan or supporter of the show and you want to just drop us a note, you don't have to record it. You can just, you know, send us an email, or you know, if you have the technology to record yourself, you know, just saying what's up to the show. We'd love to get a couple of those and be able to put them as a part of our 100th episode. So hit us up at info@whatistws.com. INFO at what? I mean, you gotta say it, Rich, because niggas don't know.
I mean, you gotta spell some shit.
info@whatistws.com. Or you can hit flan@whatistws.com or rich@whatistws.com. You could pretty much put any motherfucking thing in front of whatistws.com.
We should make a fuck it though at whatistws.com.
Why not? I think we gotta catch all. So if you send it to info@whatistws.com, it's gonna get to us one way or another. Anyways, fuck, what's going on? Man, I just want to get this off my chest, because it was Bob. We were talking about it earlier. So I'm watching, I don't even know what the fuck the movie was. It's something with, and I'm probably getting this actress name wrong. Deborah Messing is Will and Grace, right? That's her?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Grace, some movie where she's like at a wedding in London or some shit like that. So somebody knows what movie I'm talking about.
I think I saw that movie. I don't remember that line though.
Yeah. So they was what is it? Cause she hired like a gigolo or some shit
to play her
boyfriend.
Yeah.
And so this is at the point where they like starting to realize they really do like each other and maybe falling in love. Mm-hmm. And they like fall on a bed in a nice hotel and it's some real romantic, like, you know, shit. And they just start like telling each other like stuff about their lives. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, I'm allergic to fabric softener.
Allergic to fabric softener. Never mind. Go ahead.
You know, so every other aspect in the movie, they painted him out to be Superman. He had to have a kryptonite.
Yeah.
Fabric softener just happened to be
the easiest one.
But then he hits her with the line, I think I'd still miss you even if we never met. The fuck out of here, Rich.
I was trying to keep a straight face, though. I could.
I still miss you even if we never met. And I could immediately see the look on my wife's face. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, one of them.
Why are you not that sweet?
All right. No nigga in the history of niggerdom has ever on the spot been able to come up with some smooth.
Bruh.
You know what I'm saying? That's like, you would have had to have that line, practiced it in your
like
head,
prepped.
And been waiting
for that perfect,
for the perfect moment to drop that joint. And right after you tell somebody you're allergic to fabric softener is obviously
the perfect moment.
But this is what we do to set. This is what happens so that relationships are set up to fail. Like, if you give somebody unlimited amounts of time to write a script and to come up with the perfect scene, they can do that.
Well, you know what that is.
What is it?
It's Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day, you have 364 days to come up with the script for the perfect night out. That's all that Valentine's Day has been manufactured to do. You can be in a faithful relationship doing what you gotta do, but be a fuck up for 364 days out the year. This is what it's come down to. But if you show up and show out on that one day, it's like all is forgiven, or you posted everywhere because my man took care of me for Valentine's Day. But it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. I don't know. I do. I kind of like Valentine's Day because I'm not, I am not a naturally romantic person. Like, like my wife would tell you when we started dating, like she thought I was the smoothest nigga of all time. But it was that, it was that my game is no game. Like I have no game. So like everything that comes out of my mouth is probably like honest.
It's honest and real.
And sincere and in the moment. So like, yeah, maybe in the moment. I never came up with no shit like, I think I would still miss you.
Even if we never yeah, that's
another. Or that other dumbest line of all time. I just woke up from a dream I was having about having a dream about you, having a dream about me, or something crazy.
Yeah, that was
that Omari Hardwick joint that was retarded. But yeah, Valentine's Day is the one day of the year where I get like some time to plan it out, do something my thing. And I'm a writer, so I do better with the card that comes with the gift.
Yeah.
Than the actual gift. Like, I mean, I'm pretty good with the gifts. You know, I got away from. I saw in our group, we. I'm not gonna say names. Don't say names. All right. One of the Facebook group members, posted something to ladies about whether or not they had received a dozen roses ever in life, and it never dawned on me that there were women in this world that have never received a dozen roses in life. I think we did have somebody that said no. A few people said no. It never dawned on me that there are actually women in this world that have never received a dozen roses in life. And I apologize on behalf of all dudes.
But see, is it that big of a deal? I don't. Here's my thing. I feel like never having received flowers or something like that is a bigger issue than not having ever received roses. You know what I mean? Because you have people who are allergic to roses. You have people who are just not a fan of a rose. And then,
I think even the motherfuckers that's allergic to roses want the roses.
But then also, see, to me, like, I've given roses before, but I don't just give everybody roses because I'm also one of those people who knows that there are meanings behind different flowers and the different colors.
Exactly.
So I'm not just going to meet you on our first date and here's a red rose. That no, because that's not where I am emotionally. So that's why I said maybe we should have amended it to be flowers in general. However, in saying that, if you have gotten to the point where you're in a committed relationship and you have never just received a dozen roses, it's nothing bad.
Side chick alert.
I'm trying to. You know what? I'm trying to say this with a straight face, and I can't.
You might not be the one.
I've done that, so I don't know.
He's just not that into you.
No,
I don't know. I mean, you know,
it's crazy.
Like you said, like a committed relationship, I think. I don't like when guys fall into the pattern of roses, where like for every occasion, anytime you want to say I love you, you send roses. Like, I think that's
old faithful.
That's a little cliche, and that's not showing much creativity or anything like that. But I do think, you know, for your girl, at some point you got to do that. You got to get that one out the way. That might be like the first Valentine's Day for me. You get the dozen roses or the however many roses, and after that, I might never go back to roses again. Or it might be, you know, a long time. It might have to be like an anniversary or something. Specifically, like, I love you romantically.
Yeah.
You know, before I send roses again. If it's your birthday, I don't know if I'm going to do roses. I might come up with something different.
Exactly. You got to switch it up.
Yeah, I switch it up. I'm a fan of tulips and lilies. And this is plant soft
side. A lily is a dope flower. Tulips are actually pretty dope flowers.
I like tulips.
But yeah, so like you said, somebody asked that question, and when I saw the responses, I was like, I wanted to say, is it that you never received a dozen roses, or have you just never received a rose or some type of super romantic gesture at all?
I mean,
I wanted to follow up with that.
With the way we know, like, roses are interpreted, like, with the way society has built up roses, I think even if you know that, you know, that's not what you mean by them, you still got it. Like, every woman deserves to receive a dozen roses, just so she could cross it off the list. Like, and I hurt for the fact that we had people on that thing that was like, nah, I ain't never. And I do appreciate the dude that posted it, like, doing the dozen roses and emoticons or whatever. How the fuck do you even do? I don't understand. I'm in IT and I don't understand all these technological things on Facebook. Like, people be sending all these emojis and shit. I don't know how to do it. I'm not that well versed in social media technology. Man. But yeah, I just wanted to get that out the way. Ladies, don't set your standards on like smoothness by these movies and stuff, because I pride myself on having some dope lines, and I would have never, ever come up. I still think it's a little slightly retarded, because how can I miss you?
If I never met you.
If I never met you. You can't miss what you never had. I understand the whole, there would have been a void in my life that was missing whatever you represent. Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't have been, I wouldn't have been like, it was hurting. I don't know. Whatever.
I think
I'm
after,
taking it too seriously.
I think after Valentine's Day, we should take a poll just to see what was done. Because right. I keep laughing because in my head, I keep remembering like the default shit that dudes in New York would do. I don't know if it's nationwide, but like, I swear, like 8 out of 10 Valentine's like dates in New York, either you're going to the movies and you're going to dinner, and when they take you to dinner, it's either Olive Garden, Red Lobster, or Applebee's. And then you get to go to Victoria's Secret and get that 5 for $26. So it's like, I got you that Victoria's Secret and that Red Lobster. You know what's happening after that.
You know what it is.
And that shit is retarded. And everybody gets that complimentary half dozen roses or fake roses, the chocolates and the teddy bear.
Nah, yeah, I think I grew out of that a while back. But whatever. We're gonna have to do the poll. The poll will be dependent on what I end up doing for Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. I'll keep it 100. I don't have a plan at this very moment.
And the clock's ticking. It's 4 days left.
It's 4 days left. Clock's ticking.
You got plenty of time.
I will figure out something.
Plenty of time.
But at this current moment, I don't have a plan. All right, what's going on with you, Rich?
Nothing much. Just trying to take it one day at a time. Work stressful, everything stressful. So happy to be here with TWS. Had a really good morning, really good business meeting this morning. Wish we can talk more about it, but there are definitely some big things coming soon for TWS. So
yeah. Just
stay tuned.
Yeah, trying to keep that on the low until I want it to be like a grand unveiling of the next step in the TWS evolution.
Yeah.
But we out here making moves, people. We out here making moves. All right, what else? What else happened on the in the group this week?
Man, we had one conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
That just took on a life of its own. And I was at work and I finally had to say, I can't comment on this thread. Now, one more again. Because it went crazy. So, you know what? Let me read it verbatim.
Go verbatim. We need people to chime in on this one as well. I don't even know really where we left off in the group. Like, if we ever arrived at I guess the goal of the group is not to arrive at a consensus. It's just to exchange ideas and exchange information. And I think what happened in the group a little bit was we got to a point where we were trying to convince other people, you know, of what we felt the right answer was.
And for me, it wasn't even that. Like, I said my piece and you said your piece, and then I walked away, and then it became like a back and forth challenge, like how sway. So I think that was the point.
And I'm trying not to be dismissive in my new flanness. So I continue to engage, even though my instinct was to be like, you got it, you know. You know, it's not that important to me to debate this with you, to debate how you feel about something.
All right, so the question was basically, what are the rules of engagement pertaining to people in relationships and, I guess, giving or receiving food from members of the opposite sex?
Right. And so I came out immediately, like, as soon as I seen it, because I know this one intimately. Like, I've been through this shit too many times.
Likewise.
It's a no-go. It's
no
just,
fly zone.
It's a no-fly zone. Like, you do not accept or give food to a member of the opposite sex without clearing it with your significant other.
You at least have to mention it. You have to have that communication behind it. And it's not because, like, your significant other is insecure. It's more of a respect thing. Perfect example. Just like Lady S is a baker, she mentioned, I mentioned it, like sweet potato pies.
Exactly.
And she said, oh, well, I'll be happy to bake you a pie as long as it's okay. And then added my fiance, and she's like, oh, you know, as long as it's okay with her, you know, it's fine with me. Yeah. It's a respect thing, just like I would have done the same thing. I'm just not going to randomly just be cooking for women and stuff like that.
And it's not like the expected result. It's, like, it's not like she expects to, you know, say, hey, is it cool if I bake Richard pies? You'd be like, fuck no. What you baking my man a pie for? No, it's just...
it's a formality.
It's a formality. It's a courtesy extended to show that I acknowledge your relationship and I respect your relationship. So therefore, I'm going to treat it like this and boundaries, you know. Mm-hmm. It's about having boundaries. And you know, as a married man, I just, like, they're just rules that you know. And I say, like, most of the, I have female friends, and most of my female friends did not have to be explained any of these rules. Like, the rules almost didn't even come from me. It's like,
it's innate.
Our relationship immediately changed the moment I got married.
Yeah.
You know, the time that I can receive text messages changed. The time that you could call me changed. The subject matter that you could call or talk to me about
changed.
And it's just out of respect. It's not because anybody's insecure or anybody's, you know, dictating the relationships that other people can have. This came from them. This came from the friends. They was just like, hey, I can't. You a married man. It's not appropriate for me to be contacting a married man.
And people say that. They literally said that it's not appropriate. I don't feel comfortable. Like, whatever the case may be. So I don't, like I said, it's not something that we're making up.
And there's always people that's like exceptions to the rule. You got real close friends. And especially if the people are close enough friends with you as a couple.
Yeah.
Like, it can't be your friend that's, you know, that's not a friend of hers, that you got this close and continuing contact.
It depends on the couple, and that ultimately dictates the dynamic of the situation. So it's not going to be one thing fits all. But like I said, for the most part, it's a respect thing.
And it's a certain thing with food. Because my mother tell you right now that she believes my father worked the root on her. And he put some shit in the food or something, because there's no other way it would have went that way. Like, there's people who believe that, you know, you eat somebody food, they could get to you. What they say, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's an emotional attachment to food. It's a lot of shit, but just to make sure everything is above board, because you don't want you don't want drama if they don't have to be drama. You don't want problems if they don't have to be problems. So just to prevent any possible problems, before I'm like, hey, can you bake me some cookies or whatever? I'm like, hey, babe, you met so-and-so, right? Yeah, she brought these vicious-ass cookies to work the other day, and she said she'd make us a batch if it's cool with you. That's it.
I don't see what the big deal is.
This is a format.
Then people started going off the chain. People started saying, well, I mean, technically it's not like you're cooking for the person. You just happen to have extra. So here's my thing. Even if you happen to have extra, you got a whole pot full. For you to think, hey, she might want some, you know, then you're thinking specifically about the fact that she might want some. Even if that person said beforehand, because you mentioned it to them before, you mentioned it because of that situation, because, you know, I don't want to brag, but I make a mean veal pasta. You know what I mean? So then it's like, oh, you know, next time you make some, you know, bring me some. You're still, even if they said that, you're actively thinking about that person in that moment. Oh, yeah, maybe I'll bring her some. And I was like, I just don't. Yeah. Like I said, unless you're in a situation where, like, you're actually friends. Yeah. You know what I mean? If I cooked something and it came out really well, I don't think it would be an issue if I brought you something, and I brought Tammy something, and I brought Elise something, and vice versa. But that's the dynamic of our relationship, and keyword, friendship. Like, it's an actual friendship, and we're friends individually, but as a couple as well, which goes back to what you were saying. But some random bitch, like, I'm not... You can't
be out here with these randoms.
Out here cooking, then I'm like, oh, by the way, I'm going to take some for Peter, who sits two rows. Why Peter can't bring his own lunch? Peter wife, girlfriend, cousin, sister, mother can't take it? I'm like...
And then, you know... That's just me. But that's not to say... And I think this is where the other place where we fell into an issue on the group is that by me saying that what I do out of respect, is not saying that someone who doesn't do what I do is disrespectful. Mm-hmm. You know, every relationship is different. And if that's the dynamic of your relationship, some people have open relationships where you can flirt and fuck whoever you want to. And if that's the dynamic of your relationship, then
it's not disrespectful.
It's not disrespectful. But in my relationship, you know, because the dynamic is different, that just that formality or just that courtesy of saying, of, you know, of letting the other person be aware of what's happening and finding out from them whether or not that's going to bother them or not is the way
it's
we work.
It's better safe than sorry.
Is the way we work. But that's not to say that if your relationship works differently, that you somehow wrong.
I think you should say different. One more time just for. Sometimes you got to be clear.
Yeah, I'll be clear. When I speak about what I do. I try not to judge what other people do. I'm not saying that I don't ever judge what other people do. I try not to. I try to keep my side of the street clean, and I try to do what I think is best and right in my eyes. I'm not judge, jury, or executioner. I can't. If I do think something you're doing is wrong, who the fuck it though? Like, who cares?
Yeah, I'm not the end all be all.
I can't do nothing to you about it. I can't, like, force your relationship to end because I don't think y'all doing it right. Like, who the fuck cares? But that's my mentality on most things. Like, I do what I do. And if you ask me what I think about it, I'm going to tell you what I think about it. And if you think differently, I respect your right to do so. Flying out. But yeah, man, I'm loving the group, man, because we get into these conversations.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely good. And like I said, it's good to have opposing points of view. It's enlightening. We get to see what other people are thinking. And ultimately, you know, it's refreshing because you may not have all the facts. You may feel one way, but hearing what somebody else thinks and why they think that, I think that's what the purpose of the group is all about.
Yeah. I'm trying to get some group members to come chat with us. We'll do a Skype or whatever. Get you on the show. Have you speak your piece in front of it. Because sometimes I feel guilty about us, like, doing the show and we discuss what happened in the group, and we don't have those people here to speak for themselves. We would love to give you the opportunity to do so. Holla at your boy. Rich on his phone again. What are we going to next, Rich?
Yeah. So I wanted to pull it up because I could not remember the state that this happened in. But yeah, I thought it was in Jersey, but I wasn't sure. So it did actually happen in New Jersey. So four New Jersey police officers were charged in connection with beating a man on fire. Like, guy had car issues, ended up crashing his vehicle. Vehicle explodes into flames. He gets out of the car. He's crawling out of a burning vehicle, still on fire, trying to rip all of the burning clothes off of his body. I got the video pulled out. I'm not even going to play it. He's like ripping the burning clothes off of his body. And he's like, help. Like, I'm not laughing because it's funny. It's just the stupidity of the story. He's on fire, ripping burning clothes off his body. Like, help me. Like, nigga, help me. And the cops pull out their guns and start beating him. Like, because they assume that he stole a car or whatever. They're kicking him, slamming him to the ground. Not in a manner to put out the flames, but in a manner to subdue him. Like, they didn't hose him down with the fire extinguisher, nothing. They beat his ass, put him in cuffs, and hauled him away. He was on fire. You beat a man who he's already, he's being punished right now.
All right, so two things from my perspective is, one, it does take a certain level of, like, ballsiness to beat a motherfucker on fire. Like, I don't want to catch on fire, too. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't approach.
What if that flame would have jumped? Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'm saying, unless I got a system to put the flames out, I don't know how much close contact I want with a person on fire, more or less than to be hitting them. But honestly, though, with all of these things that keep happening, like, y'all need to have a meeting. Like, just get camera phones is everywhere.
Whole thing is on camera.
People got camera phones. They riding around with camcorders, dash cams. We see you.
It's crazy.
See you. Y'all need to get this shit
under
together.
Control.
Under
Go
control.
Ahead.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because it's a double insult that is being done. And that it's being done so blatantly out in public.
Like,
y'all don't even care that people see you doing it. Like, I don't want to make the fucked up comment of at least go back to the days when y'all tried to hit hide the shit. But it's like, that's a double insult. It's fucked up. That like you just do it and you feel so free in doing it that you would do it like in public view, broad daylight.
No fucks given.
Like zero. And the police given. Chief,
he's backing them.
Backing the police
officers. He's backing the officers.
For beating a man on
Dude did an interview and like you can see. Like after you finally finish healing or whatever, like the state that his skin is in, like where his face was half on fire, his ear, like his skin was melting. So when it finally put it out, his ear is at a point to where you can see where it was melting and the drip, and then it stopped. Like he's just all fucked up, arms fully covered, patched, had to get all types of skin grafts and everything. Like I'm on fire and you beat my ass. Never mind the fact that okay, you're not gonna help me. But you're causing more trauma and nerve damage beating my ass while I'm on fire.
Yeah. Like, the crazy thing. Have you seen that that Netflix? I don't know if it's a Netflix show, but it's on Netflix. Making a Murderer?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I finally watched that the other day. And I think the part that struck me the most is, like, when the dude is on trial and they're trying to prove, like, the conspiracy that the police had against him. And it was a lot of evidence. I mean, definitely the show was kind of told from the viewpoint of people who think he didn't do it and the police was out to get him. So, I mean, it was biased. Mm-hmm. But the evidence seemed overwhelming that, like, this was more than likely what happened. These police, you know, tried to get this dude and was trying to pin this on him. But, like, the prosecutors just kept saying, like, how dare you accuse these upstanding it's like because they were police officers they were above
reproach.
Like they were above even being accused of something. Like you can't even say a police officer did something wrong, you know, because they're a police officer. And it's like where's the logic in that? Like how is it that, because if anything they should be held to a higher standard,
they should be more accountable
than the rest of us, and you know, and almost be more easily accused, because you know they shouldn't do they shouldn't beat a man that's on fire.
Exactly.
They should be running. If I was there and didn't help him, that's one thing. If they're there and they not only not help him,
that's fucked up.
But then beat his ass, that's like,
because the expectation is for you to go above and beyond.
But you know,
they are going above and beyond. Just with
right now it seems like you can't even say the police did something wrong or you're anti-police. What we saw the thing today that was like without cops nothing matters or something like that.
Without cops, nothing. Which is,
I was like, nothing? Like, without, like, nothing? For real? Nothing?
Nothing matters without police.
Nothing matters without police. Like, it's like police or nothing? Like, really?
Police or burst. That's crazy.
So, yeah, nah, I don't get it. But I'm just saying, police, like, we need police. We need, you know, law enforcement. But we need y'all to police yourself. Like, y'all need to have a meeting and, like, find a way to squash this shit, because you don't want people to feel like they backed into a corner. Like there's no hope. I can't trust you. You out to get me. You don't want people to land in that realization.
Not at all.
If that happens, you know,
it's over.
It's over. Like, you know, shit is going to hit the fan. But when every day we see some shit like this, we're just getting closer and closer and closer. Mm-hmm. And I don't want, you know, I don't want it to get that far. So I'm pleading with the people, like really just have a man. talk to each other and figure out, like, nah, dog, you can't, like, people on fire. Let's not beat those people. Let's not leave voicemails about how you should, you know, shoot if he's black, shoot him. Like, nah,
that's crazy.
Just don't do it.
Shit is crazy. Like I said, I've gotten pulled over for a ticket, and I was entirely shitting bricks. Like I was like telling Renee, like, don't even breathe, like don't move. I'm not gonna make no sudden movements. He asked me for my ID. Is it okay if I reach for my wallet? I almost told her to reach for my wallet.
Like, trying to get her shot, Rick.
Can I see your insurance? Is it okay if I go into the glove compartment? Like, you almost have to be extra, and it's a shame. And that's just for a ticket.
I told you that story where the cops was laughing at me because I was being so extra. Like, I was standing outside my apartment waiting for a pizza because I lived in a pretty fucked up neighborhood, and the pizza dudes didn't like to get out the car. And if they pulled up and you wasn't out there, that's your pizza. So I'm waiting for the pizza, and I see some cops up the hill, and they got their flashlights out. And then I hear on the radio, like, black male, jeans and a hoodie. And I look at myself, and I'm like, motherfucker. Like, had to be tonight.
It's the entire neighborhood is black jeans.
Right. And then immediately, like, the wheels start turning. It's like, if I turn around and go back at the building right now,
you look like a suspect.
I look like a suspect. So I got to stand here. Like, how do I stand here and look as non-threatening as possible? I gotta get all my hands can't be in none of my pockets, you know, like. And then how do you like stand without your hands in your pockets
then, and look normal? Forward? Are you aggressive or you can't do anything?
I don't look, now I look abnormal. So anyway, they eventually do see me, and it's like I get approached by like three cops. Like, two cops are talking to me and another car pulls up while they talking to me. And the whole time, I'm like, I got my hands above my shoulders. Like, they wasn't raised, all right, but they above my shoulders. And they asking me for stuff. I'm like, all right, can I reach for my wallet? And I'm slowly, like, you know. And they laughing.
Robot style.
And so, you know, they still there. They looking at my stuff. They're like, yeah, you good, you know, whatever. But they still there. And I still got my hands up. And they like, dude, you can put your hands down. I'm like, nah, is it okay if I keep them up, though? Like, is it all right if I just keep them right here where you can see them?
Yeah, I know, no games.
Nah, when y'all pull off, I'm going to put my hands down. But until y'all leave.
I'm like, no excuses.
No excuses.
I ain't do nothing. As soon as I put my hand down, oh, he flinched. Yeah. Nope.
Nah.
Nope.
I want to live.
Not me, not now.
I got things to live for. It was football season.
Football and pizza.
Oh, man.
Speaking of football season, we never even had a conversation on the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Neither team was mine either way. So it really wasn't. Like, I just wanted to see a good game.
Which it was.
Yeah. And I didn't necessarily want the Patriots to win. However, the Patriots winning would lend more cash to the fact that it's only been the Giants busting their ass. that would have been cool for me.
So that was your thing.
But the Eagles winning, you know, it's good for the conference. My only thought about it. Here's my thing. Great game. Literally, it was a great game.
Great game.
All out. Fuck both teams. I don't care. But in the spirit of football, that was a great game. But those two motherfucking touchdowns, those two questionable last plays, the reason why that got to me is because I've seen recently, and up to the last couple of years, similar plays. Same shit happened where it didn't count.
Yeah, they got to fix the rule. Now, I think the one to that running back in the back of the end zone, I'll agree, I thought they was going to overturn that one. I thought that was coming back.
Yeah, everybody's talking about he took three steps inside. No, he didn't. He caught it on one foot, took one step, the last foot hit the line. He was adjusting the ball
as that. So I thought that was going to get overturned. But the Zach Ertz one, I 100% believe he caught the ball, became a runner, was contacted as he was diving into the end zone. And as soon as that ball crossed the plane, that was a touchdown. But not to get on the technical stuff too much, because I don't think nobody.
Nobody
cares. On the episode I did on Super Bowl night, I pretty much said, you know, fuck both teams. And I was rooting for, I was looking for a way that both teams could lose. And our buddy Jay of Just Say Words and the Man Podcast kind of called me out on that. But I will say this, as much as I thought I didn't care, and I didn't even plan on watching the Super Bowl. Like, I really didn't, like, because of the two teams involved, I felt like I was going to feel fucked up no matter who won, and I didn't want to put myself through that. But the moment the game started, I realized I hate the Patriots far more than I hate the Eagles. Like, the moment they kicked off, I realized, like, yeah, I am rooting for the Eagles. And at least now we can say that the NFC East is the only division in the NFL where every team has won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So you can make the case that we are the best division in professional football. And I'm going to go with that. So shout out to NFC East.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Eagles. Fuck the Patriots.
Yeah, I did. Fuck the Patriots. I'm not a fan either.
And it just it filled my heart with so much joy when Brady fumbled that that one that pretty much sealed the
yeah,
game.
Yeah, when I saw that, I was like, damn, he's kicking himself. He was sitting on the floor, looked like he was crying, pouting and shit.
Yeah. But people don't get too rad. People kill me with this shit. Like, unless you work for one of these franchises or the NFL, you're not. Maybe you bet on the game and you made some money. But other than that, like, your livelihood and shit is not attached to this. Yeah. Like, because people on, like, the Redskin pages was pretty much like, you not a Redskin fan and get out of our group if you rooting for the Eagles. Like, you know, if you not rooting against the Eagles. Like, it was just too deep. Like, people, it's not that serious. I love the Redskins, but I enjoy football.
Yeah.
And, you know, I enjoyed that game. I'm glad the Eagles won. Ain't nothing negative happened to me because the Eagles won. My life didn't change in any way at all. Like, so why are we getting that bent out of shape about it?
Exactly. And follow up to that, I don't even want to give it too much because I don't care about it that much. But the aftermath, they tore that town the fuck up. Like the fires, flipping cars, the fucking hotel awnings, like. What about winning makes people say, yes, let's fuck everything up?
I don't know, man. I wouldn't be able to tell you because the Redskins haven't won anything significant since I was old enough to fuck some shit up. So
I've been watching.
I don't know.
Like, when the Giants won, when the Yankees won, like, it wasn't like that. The next morning, we had a ticker tape parade. Go to the city, watch the float go by. Get some fucking confetti in your head, and you go back to work. We had an excuse to stay extra lunch or call out.
Yeah.
But
did you?
We wasn't fucking up the city.
It was the round before, and I can't remember what city it was. But in preparation for the team winning, the cops, like, there was a group of police that went out and rubbed Crisco on the light poles. To keep from people being able to climb up the light poles and do that shit.
That's
police,
genius.
That's some dope ass police work. Let's clap it up for whoever that was. I forget what city it was, but that's some dope ass police work.
That's some genius
level shit.
Do that
and stop beating niggas on fire.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was. Alright, whatever.
It's fucking on fire.
But yeah, I think with that said,
yeah.
We're gonna let y'all go for today. As always, you know, appreciate you for listening. And giving us a shot. We got major things in the works. I think we've said that a lot, but this time, like, we got some legitimate, like, major stuff coming.
Change is coming.
We putting in a lot of work to make this as dope as possible. So, you know, stay on the lookout. Keep rocking with us. And until we speak again, be safe. Be the light.
Peace.
Peace.